what we dealt with the last couple of weeks, right, was the question of why the Kohen Gadol has to do all of the avoda of Yom Kippur. What does that mean? Which avoda does that include? Why are those included? Are non-Kohen Gadol considered a czar? And if so, how can that make any sense? After all, if you're a Kohen, you shouldn't be able to be a czar. The two theories that we tried to develop, number one, maybe it's the day of Yom Kippur which requires the Kohen Gadol, right? The Yom Kippur is the day of the Kohen Gadol. Number two, which we got a little bit more into, was maybe it's the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, which requires a higher level of Kedusha, maybe a higher level of Kahuna, than the standard Avoda of every day, right? And that's going to explain why there will be some cases maybe which do require Kohen Gadol, some cases which don't. And then we talked about the different circles, right? You're going from your core that's done with the Big Day Lavan to your outside circles, right? The Avoda, which is unique to the day but doesn't belong in the Kodesh HaKadashim. Your Avoda, like the Tamid, we saw the Rambam talk about the importance of the Tamid. So that was basically part number one of the introduction. Now, part number two flows very nicely from part number one, which is, if we're going to say that the reason why you need a Kohen Gadol for everything is because, let's say, the Avodas Hayom requires a higher level of sanctity, so then you're going to want to dig into what exactly this higher level of sanctity that the Kohen Gadol has. Right? So once you have like part one on the back burner, the very first halacha that the very first Mishnah in the Masechta talks about becomes more appealing, right? The very first statement that Masechta Yoma tells us is, right, Shivas Yom Kodesh Yom Kippurim, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mibesal, the Lishkas Parhedrin, right? So 7 days before Yom Kippur starts, we take the Kohen Gadol, we separate him from his house, and we take him to the Lishkas Parhedrin, the Parhedrin office, which is also called the office of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so what are we going to do with this? So you first see this, and what are the first things you start to think? Any initial reactions to the first statement of the Mishnah? None. Okay, so read one more line. Maskinin lo kohen acher tachtav, shema ye'arabo psul. Right, we also prepare the backup Kohen Gadol, right, lest something wrong happen to the first one, and then he will become invalidated. Okay, so I have two pieces of information. Do I see a relationship between these two, or do I think they're different? Any?
It could be related, because the reason that you're separating him is so it could be so that he doesn't become custom.
Right, exactly. Right. Maybe these are related. Maybe we have two reasons, two things we're trying to do to keep the Kohen Gadol in shape for Yom Kippur. Number one, we'll take him away from his house, right, to make sure that, let's say, he doesn't get a seminal emission, or doesn't get exposed to his wife becoming Tamei. That's step number one. And step number two is we'll set up a backup Kohen Gadol for him. If that's the case, there's not so much to get excited about in this Mishnah, right? Because all we're talking about are various precautions which are being taken to get the Kohen Gadol, make sure the Kohen Gadol is able to serve in the Mikdash. And if I had to ask, are these Midah Reis or Midah Rabbanan, what would you probably bet? Right, why?
Well, don't say it in any of the shot that we read.
Okay, fair. But
also, they seem like precautionary.
Exactly. So. Right, very good. They're precautionary. They're doesn't appear explicitly in Achrimos. So we think that maybe they're just their abundant precautions, and if so, we could stop the shear and go home. But things get a little bit complicated right away, because if you look at the small comment that the Tosfot Yeshanim make, so they say that there's a little difference between maskinin and mafrishin, right? Tosfot Yeshanim points out that when we separate this backup Kohen Gadol, so does the backup Kohen Gadol stay home, or does the backup Kohen Gadol have to go into the into quarantine as well?
Does not have to go into quarantine.
Exactly, right? Backup Kohen Gadol can stay at home. Mm-hmm. Only the Kohen Gadol goes into quarantine. So if these two halachos are coming from the exact same reason, which is to make sure we have a viable Kohen Gadol ready to go on Yom Kippur, why not separate the backup Kohen Gadol as well, right? It's a little bit surprising. Toshan tells us something else. He also tells us, by the way, this halacha that you have to separate him from his house is not ma'akif, right? The bidyeved the avoda can go ahead even if the Kohen Gadol had not been taken away from his house. Okay? Now, very important thing to appreciate whenever we're learning Kadshim is normally in Halacha, if I'm told something is not Ma'akev, and then I'm asked, is this Mida Oraisa or Mida Rabbanan? So what am I going to bet if it's not Ma'akev? Rabbanan, right? That's like one of your classic, it's not 100% reliable, but it's a generally reliable indicator that we're dealing with something which is Mida Rabbanan. In the world of Karbanos, that is not the case. It's because in the world of Karbanos, basically, we have the whole slew of higher aspirations, and therefore there are all sorts of things which, on a biblical level, are desired or recommended, but not required. Okay, so Tos Yishon tells us that the need to separate the Kohen Gadol is not absolutely required, but we should just make sure that does not necessarily tell us whether this is Mida Oraisa or whether this is Mida Rabbanan. Okay, so one question we're trying to figure out is this Oraisa, is this Rabbanan? Question two, what's the relationship between the need to separate him from his house and the need to set up a backup? Are these the same or are they different? Okay, any other questions you might think of just off the bat when you see this halacha that we separate the Kohen Gadol after 7 days? Right. Also, just told the halacha, separate Kohen Gadol for 7 days from his house. So we have...
Why 7 days?
Okay, very good, right? Why 7 days? Why not 6 or 5 or 2? Excellent, right? Why 7? That's one we could throw out. Any others?
Like, all the stuff that, like, from sources, like, what's he supposed to do for 7 days? Where's he supposed to go?
Right, okay, very good, right? Where exactly do we separate him to? What is he doing during that time, which will bleed into what is the purpose of this, right? If all this is to quarantine him for safety purposes, it doesn't really matter what he does. Right. If there's something else going on, then maybe there would be more. So that's something you'd want to think about. Okay, so just questions we have off the Mishnah. D'oraisa or D'rabanan, right? That's number one. Number two, what's the need for this separation? Is it just for safety or is it something else? Where exactly is he separated to? Why 7 days? And what is going on? Okay, so those are just questions that we'll throw on the dartboard before delving into any of the Gemaras. Okay. So there's, if you jump down to Beis Amud Aleph, in my Gemara there's a little period, right? But the Gemara asks, Minahani Mili, right? The Gemara asks, where do we know that you have to separate the Kohen Gadol? And what does the Gemara do? How does the Gemara answer? Even just on a very basic level. It's right opposite Tosas Lahotzi, if anybody.
But there's a pasuk.
There's a pasuk. Right? We'll quote him. Okay. So what does that tell me?
Just like I said, the
Kohen Gadol has to separate. Right. Okay, so give us some background on that. What does that mean, the... Just like we separated the Kohen Gadol for the time of Milum, what's going on there?
Like when the Kohanim are being anointed, they have to then like stay in the Mishkan for 7 days, and then there's some sort of like something with blood. Like there's some sort of like putting blood on their ears and on their toes and on their fingers, and then like there's a very strict like if you do this, you won't die. Like
right.
Attached to.
And who's saying this?
Hashem.
Right, and Hashem to Moshe, and then being said to Aaron.
Yes.
Right, right. When the original institution of Kahuna is established, right, in Parshat Tzav, so they're commanded, right, spend 7 days inside the Ohel Moed, and exactly we're going to put the blood on you and put the oil on you, and that is the process of Aaron and his sons becoming Kohanim, right? That's how it happens. and it has to be done for 7 days. Right, so the drasha is, just like Aaron took 7 days to become the Kohen Gadol, and he spends it in the Ohel Moed, and the Torah says you can't leave. Right, pasuk there says you can't leave the Ohel Moed. So too says the Gemara. Right, that is the source for separating the Kohen Gadol for 7 days before Yom Kippur. Okay, so what are we initial reactions to that to that drasha?
We're drawing comparison to Miluim, so what else are we doing? What else are we connecting to the Miluim? What else are we going to learn from the Miluim?
Okay, good. In other words, these seem like two different... Why are the Miluim being brought in for the question of Yom Kippur, right? Prima facie, these seem like two different areas of halacha, so why is one being connected to the other? Great. Anything else? Initial responses. What does this do to my question about whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabanan? So obviously it seems to tell me it's d'oraisa, and you push back. Are we all in agreement that this seals the deal? And go back to Matt's question.
Well, yeah, I mean, it might not seal the deal if you don't think it's comfortable for me alone.
Exactly, right? If our first question is that this seems like a bit of a surprising drasha, so maybe the reason why it's a surprising drasha is maybe it's not really a drasha at all. Maybe it's more of an asmachta, and it's only operative on a rabbinic level. Very good. And what about Lisa's question? Right.
Seven, because of the Miluim.
7-7. So maybe this would be a great answer to 7-7. Now, if we take this really seriously, right? Let's argue for a sec. We raise the way that we can say this is all the Midrabanan. Let's take this super seriously for a minute and say that not only is this the source for the Hafrasha, which I'll have to explain, but this tells you something essential about the nature of the Hafrasha as well, right? So then, if the source for separating the Kohen Gadol for 7 days is that we're going back to the time where Aaron and his sons are becoming Kohanim, right, and are being elevated from being regular Levim to being Kohanim, so that could be extremely provocative for how to understand the Hafrasha before Yom Kippur, right? Anyway, explain why am I saying that?
The Kohen Gadol has to become a completely new status of Kohen Gadol on
right.
Yom Kippur.
The 8th day before Yom Kippur, right, on Rosh Hashanah, the Kohen Gadol was walking around as a Kohen Gadol, right? He was wearing the big day Zav, and he's bringing his daily mincha that a Kohen Gadol has to bring. So how can we compare the 7 days of Aaron going from zero to Kohen Gadol to the Kohen Gadol who's going from Kohen Gadol to just serving in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Apparently, maybe there's an idea here about some additional element which has to be provided for the Kohen Gadol. If that was the case, we'd be thrilled. We're looking for that because of right, our original topic we covered, which was the need for a Kohen Gadol to do the Avoda, which, by the way, Rashi stretches in the very first Rashi on the Mishnah. So we have to flesh that out, but that would definitely be somewhere we want to go. Okay, so the Gemara elaborates on this a little bit more if you turn to Daf Gemara. Because it turns out that the claim that we derive the Kohen Gadol separation from the Miluim is subject to controversy, right? Subject to controversy between two classically debating Amoraim, namely Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, right? Rabbi Yochanan is the one who is of the opinion that we should derive the Hafrasha from the Miluim. And Reish Lakish objects, and Reish Lakish raises an interesting objection, right? Says Reish Lakish on Daf Gimel, so I don't know if you have it available, but Reish Lakish said, Amar li Reish Lakish, le Rabbi Yochanan, mehecha kayalaft mi miluim, right? If you're going to derive from the miluim, so I'll ask the following question. I'm going to take this derivation seriously, and you should run with it all the way, right? Ima miluim kol akasav behen ma'akiv behen. Right, we said in general in Karbanos often things are not required. But it happened to be for Aaron to become a Kohen, right, he had to listen to every single thing Moshe said, right? As we said before, Aaron's command did if you miss a single one of these steps when you become a Kohen Gadol, you're gonna die. Right? So this whole area was absolutely required. So if we're going to compare the process of the Miluim to the process of Hafresha in our Masechta, so then we should say that this is required as well. Right, imam miluim kol akasav behen ma'akev behen, afachanami kol akasav behen ma'akev behen. Right. Okay. Now, how do we know? How do we know that you don't require this hafrasha? That you could serve as a kohen gadol without hafrasha?
The Rosh
Because
the second guy.
Because the backup guy, exactly, right? Because the backup guy, the Gemara tells us, doesn't get the Hafresha treatment, and yet it's acceptable for him to work. So clearly we see that even though we want it and we have a drasha for it, it is not absolutely required. Okay, so that's Rish Lakish's objection. If you're going to learn from the Miluim, take the drasha seriously, right? And Rabbi Yochanan doesn't give an answer, but presumably he'll say no, right? I have a source from the Miluim, but it's not the exact same carbon copy. Okay, but Rish Lakish gives a different source, which might be even more provocative than Rabbi Yochanan's source. Yeah, question?
I'm assuming it would be a strange thing to have as part of the... as part of the service, but is it a possible, could you possibly also take it in a different direction? The Gemara doesn't take it in this direction, but say that the preparation of the Kohen Gadol, you could see it as a sort of part of the Avodat Hayom. And therefore, meaning there's a separate idea that we want him to be Tahor, but you could also see that separation as something kind of that needs to be done not necessarily for the Kohen Gadol, but as part of the Avodat Hayom. And if you see it that way, then it makes sense that once one Kohen Gadol has gone through that process, you don't need a second Kohen Gadol to do that, because it's not about his personal preparation, it's about sort of the need of the needs of the day.
Very interesting. The only thing I'd say in response is that you'd like to have some other evidence of the Avodas Hayom bleeding out of the Yom, right? So for example, we talked about the status of the Trumas Hadashin, which is, right, the taking the first shovel of the ashes from the night's carbon burning. Does that have to be done by the Kohen Gadol or not? So it's done in the morning, right, but before sunrise. So it's like done on Yom Kippur, but it's not part of the day's service. So one reason why many Rishonim gave why it may not require Kohen Gadol is because it's out of that bubble. So it's a very interesting idea. I just would want to have some other evidence for the bubble of the Yod HaYom leaking out of the day. Okay. So Reish Lakish's rival source, he says, I don't learn from the Miluim. He says, I learn from, anybody remember? Har Sinai. Right? How so?
Hashem only spoke to Moshe on the seventh day, which is that he is separated for...
Yeah, he's in the 6 days. Where did he turn into those 6 days?
Clouds were wrapped around.
Like in the holiest place in the universe, right? Like on top of the mountain in the cloud where nobody else can touch, like surrounded by godliness. And then day seven, he's actually able to confront the Shekhinah directly. So, okay, if that's our source, then what are we thinking now?
Six days.
Okay, so good, and that's what the Gemara says first. What are we thinking before we read the next line of the Gemara? Besides the question of six or seven, just in terms of the nature of the Hafrasha, the comparison of the two cases.
It's not really about
Tumantara
anymore.
Yeah, Tumantara, totally different universe. What's it about?
Kedusha.
Perfect, right? That's the word. It's not about Tara or Tuma. It's about Kedusha, right? Namely the. What? No, I don't know. Oh, yeah, where are you getting that from?
Rashi.
Very good. Right, but so there's some, we could agree, just to strip it down, there's some basic preparatory process that has to happen before you walk in to face the Shekhinah face to face. Right? That at a certain elementary level is true. So Moshe, I understand, is facing the Shekhinah face to face. On Har Sinai, and then the Kohen Gadol is going to do the same. Where?
In the Kodesh
HaKadosh, right? Which we said was the core of the Avodas Hayom, right? The big day love on the white garment service inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In order to do that, he needs the same separation period. Okay. Now the Talmud Bavli says that only gets you 6 days, because the Torah says that on day seven, now Moshe talks to Hashem. So it happens to be the Yerushalmi argues. The Yerushalmi says, no, right? If on the seventh day Moshe left the cloud to talk to Hashem, so that means that you have 7 days, right? It's, you know, Mixas Hayom Kekulo, right? Part of it, so it counts as the seventh day. So the Yerushalmi has no problem with this as the source for seven. The Bavli does. And the Bavli answer is, why do I need 7 days? So what's the answer? V'hanan Shiva Tanan. No, right? Our answer is, Masnisin Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseirahi Dechayesh Letumas Beso. Right, what's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseirah concerned about?
that the Kohen Gadol's wife is going to become a Nida, and they'll have been together the first day, and then they'll realize then he's going to have to wait 7 days.
Exactly, right? So we mandate a 7-day period where he's separated from his wife for 7 days, because maybe they slept together the night before the separation period, and it turned out she was Anita, and she'll find out later, and then catastrophe, because, you know, it's Yom Kippur, and it's day 7, and he could become Tar tomorrow, but tomorrow is the 11th day of Tishrei, and it's too late. Okay, so this is a big deal, because now the Gemara is explicitly telling us that there are two different reasons to separate the Kohen Gadol from his house, right? There are two dinim here. Number one is the fundamental hafrasha being derived from either Har Sinai or the Miluim. And factor number two is the importance for the preservation of purity, right? At least according to Reish Lakish, we have on record that second din is operative. which is great, because now, you know, it's like super confirming for us that this is not, right, our initial suspicion, maybe the requirement for Hafrasha is the same as the requirement for the backup on Gadol, is not the case, right? Hafrasha I need for whatever fundamental need I have to separate for. In addition, I have other concerns, right, so we'll have a backup on Gadol just in case, and according to Reish Lakish, we'll separate him for 7 days instead of 6 days to make sure that he stays Tahor. Two different requirements entirely. So just to go back to Yair's comment about Tara versus, right, Tumah and Tara versus Kedusha, so this is really drawn out by the small comment that Gemara makes on Daf Ches, right? If you turn to the very bottom of Ches Amud Ches Amud Aleph. So the Gemara had learned from the Miluim not only that you need 7 days for the Kohen Gadol to do the service of Yom Kippur, but that you also need him for 7 days for one other purpose. Anybody remember what that other one was?
Paraduma,
right? That the Kohen who's supposed to be doing the Paraduma has to be separated for 7 days. Now, why Paraduma? It's doubtful there's any, you know, sanctity element here. Does anybody know where the Paraduma is prepared? Or where they burn the Paraduma?
Outside.
On Har HaZeitim, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Outside, but in where you're able to see the Mikdash, but you're not in the Mikdash. So this is kind of like the opposite of the
cemetery.
Yes, especially because they were like so super careful about purity there, and now it's a little more complicated.
Yeah.
And the Arabs also built a hotel, right, where it probably they probably did it.
That'll be the most complicated part.
What? Yeah. When it comes to Paraduma, so there we know purity is of paramount importance, right? And so it makes sense that the need for the separation in that case is exclusively for preservation of purity. And the Gemara talks about this explicitly, right? If anybody has the Gemara, wants to read it. So it's the second to last line on Dav Ches, where the Gemara asks, Kaman Azla? You want to take it?
Manaza.
Yeah, okay.
Hazan Rabbanon, in being coin as a reverse of Haran, the coin got the being the room. Ella Shazapisha Zel Kedusha, the Achav the Kwani Minoginbo, the Zapisha Zel Tara, in Achav the Kwani Minoginbo.
No, that's good. That's good. That's all we need. So, what's the distinction?
So, the difference is that if it's just for Kedusha, so then you don't have a Chashash of the coin touching him. Presumably for Tama Chashash, but if it's that Chashash would be, that's why you're up, the Prisha is for Tara, then obviously they can't be touching it.
Okay, so who is who?
So Prisha Zol Kedusha is the... Well, it should be...
You would think that...
I do think it's for Yom Kippur, but the order does it seem like...
Yeah, which you have
the
to...
The order is not always like consecutive. Okay. It's
right.
Not always,
right.
You know.
Right. And logically, right? So which how are you going to match them up?
Just logically, I would think that Yom Kippur is for Kedusha, and the Kohen is for Tara.
Right. So now, what does that mean? That he's separated for Tara? I understand what that means, right? He's quarantined so that he stays pure. He's separated for sanctity. What does it mean? He's separated for sanctity.
Well, when Rashi says he's like separated from, you know, environments, that, so that he can build up a sense of the Kovod Rosh and not be from places that would be not like that.
Exactly, right? He's to himself, he has time to meditate, to think, right? Some his bodhidus. To prepare himself for the occasion of going inside the Kodesh HaKadashim. Remember, who's allowed inside the Kodesh HaKadashim when the Kohen Gadol goes in there? Nobody. Right? He has to be a Kutri Kresh. Right? Kohen Gadol has to be by himself when he enters Kodesh HaKadashim. Solitude in that moment is critical. Okay. Now, does anyone know where Rashi got this from? Very good, right? That was the Gemara on Dalet Amud Beis. Rashi, all Rashi's doing is he's taking a comment that was applied to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, and he's applying it to explain the Gemara about Prishaso LeKedusha on Daf Ches. Gemara on Daf Dalet, right, which was just a continuation of the source for Reish Lakish, quotes Rabbi Masya ben Cheresh, who says that the reason for the separation, the reason why Moshe's up there, he says, "Lo ba'akasav pasuk is coming to tell me el ayim alav kadesh tehei Torah nitenes be'ima v'reses uvzeya." Right. The reason was to properly intimidate Moshe. Right. So he's the proper serious awed feeling, so that Torah can be given to him with awe and shaking and sweat. Right. That's the line the Gemara uses. That Torah in general is supposed to be just like Torah is accepted. Be'ema b'reses uzeh, it's supposed to be studied. Be'ema b'reses uzeh, right? It's supposed to be an intense experience. I'll joke later. This is just important because Rabbi Masya ben Cheresh is talking totally about Har Sinai experience, and Rashi is assuming that that's exactly what the Gemara means when it talks about Prishaso the Kedusha. It's done so that Kohen Gadol has the proper intensity, is the proper preparation to go inside. Okay. Just one last point before moving off of the source a little bit. If you look on Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara gives the source for Reish Lakish, so the Gemara, the Braisa says, they say as following. Tanya Kavasei de Reish Lakish, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom if you have it. Well, it's just a very short line. Tanya Kavasei de Reish Lakish, Moshe Allah be'anan, Moshe ascended in the cloud, v'nikaseh be'anan, and he was covered by the cloud, v'niskadesh be'anan, right? And he was sanctified in the cloud, kadei lekabel Torah liYisrael v'kedusha, right? So that he could receive Torah for Yisrael in a state of sanctity. So, Braisa seems to say, right, that Moshe is becoming Mikkadesh, right? It says Moshe is becoming Mikkadesh in the cloud. So if we want to explain that what's going on with the Prisha is really a little bit more than Rashi's saying, not just that he's mentally preparing himself, right? We're going to want to argue that he's actually gaining in levels of sanctity. So if we read the Braisa and draw the connection very closely, right, that seems to be actually what's going on, right? Moshe is becoming Mikkadesh, and so too, we're going to say the same of the Kohen Gadol. The Yerushalmi seem to say that a little bit more clearly. I put it in brackets just because I was giving you so many Gemaras that I wanted to make sure you got the stuff at the end, which is actually the good stuff, you know, the real good stuff, which I hope was able to happen. But if you just take a look on your own at the Yerushalmi makes this the same a little bit clearer. It says, just like Moshe is Mikkadesh in the cloud, so too Aaron has his experience during the Miluim with the Shemen HaMeshach. Okay, so just to take one step back, right, we had all those questions about the need for Hafrasha. At first glance, it looked like this is only a rabbinic requirement to keep him safe and pure. It turns out that it may be much, much, much more than that, right? We have one source from the Miluim, with Aaron becoming holy as a Kohen Gadol, and his sons becoming holy as Kohanim. We have Reish Lakish's source from Moshe, right, the 7 days or 6 days spent in the cloud, either just preparing for the proper experience of confronting the divine, or actually being mitkadesh in order to receive the Torah, and those being the two sources being advanced for this need for hafrasha, for this need to separate from his house and go somewhere. Right, we still have to explain where exactly it is that he has to go, and we have the Gemara saying that there are two different dinim in his separation. One is being separated for this ambitious goal, and the other is making sure that he stays pure. Fine. The Gemara on Vav Amud Aleph, don't look at that inside, but on Vav Amud Aleph, had actually, actually we maybe we should look at it inside, because it's going to be important for some subsequent discussion. Yeah, let's take a look. So it's right after the two dots on Vav Amud Aleph, right? The Gemara asks, Gemara, we quote the Mishnah, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol, right? And then what's the Gemara's question? Mafrishin. So that's a great question, right? Because that's like the first thing we wanted to know when we read the Mishnah. The problem is that we were wondering that on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. And the Gemara is asking this on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, right? And a few things have elapsed in the previous five pages, right? So what does the Gemara respond? Yeah, we have a heart attack, right? Lo Mafrishin, what are you talking about? You space out for the whole Gemara till now, right? Kedarminan. Either Yochanan Kedisle, either Shlakish Kedisle, right? We've been there, done that, right? All the aspiration and the Miluim and the coming Kohen Gadol and the Har Sinai, you slept for that much, that can't be. That's why we're Mafrishin. So the Gemara says, no, right? Hachik Amar, mi Beso Lama Parish, right? Why does he have to separate from his house, right? I.e. Beis Zoishto, right? Why does he have to separate from his wife for 7 days, right? And then we say, oh, that's because of purity concerns, right? Okay, very good. So we have like almost explicitly in the Gemara, right, or explicitly in the Gemara, two different dinim. One, hafrasha qua hafrasha, and two, hafrasha qua separating from his wife to maintain purity. Okay. So that settles the question of the source, and that basically settles the question of the relationship between, is this, you know, just technical or not? Fine. Just one last comment before moving off of the source for now. Just to go back to that point about the Miluim for a second. So we were wondering, what on earth is the connection between the Miluim and the Hafrasha of the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur? Right? These seem like two totally different areas. So Meshech Chachma has a very interesting comment. If you, I should have the source codes open here, but just take a look at the Pasuk base in Parak Tes Zayin, or even Pasuk Aleph, Parak Tes Zayin. I'm sorry. Right, so Pasuk Aleph tells us when is, so Parak Tes Zayin is obviously the chapter about the legislation for the Yom Kippur service, right? So when is it being commanded? When is this parak being taught?
What, Parak Tes Zayin?
Yeah.
Right after Nadav and Abihu died,
right? And when did they die?
He died at the end of the Shabbat.
Exactly, they died on day 8.
Right.
So they died. We are on the day immediately following the 7 days of preparation. So when in Pasuk Gimel, right? Pasuk Gimel tells us, "Bizos yavo Aaron el Hakodesh." Right? With this, Aaron shall approach the Kodesh Hakadashim. So says Meshech Chachma. Oh, I'll tell you what that means. The last 7 days that you just spent preparing to serve as Kohen Gadol, you need that same 7 days that you, right, we're on day 8 right now, with this, with the last 7 days you just spent, is what you also need in order to enter the Holy of Holies for the Yom Kippur service. So that's how that's the connection Meshech Chachma sees between Miluim and Hafrasha of Kohen Gadol. Okay, just wanted to get that out there. Okay, so now the next question we have to ask, it really comes out as a kasha from this Gemara on Daf Vav. The question we want to ask now is, where exactly is the Kohen Gadol being sent to? So on one level, we already know the answer, because Mishnah told me the answer. Where is he being sent? Right, he's being sent to the Shofar Hedrin, which is the office of the Kohen Gadol. So Rashi raises a bit of a problem comes out of Rashi, which is the Gemara seemed to assume that absent this second halacha, right, we have to separate him from his wife so that he stays tahor, right? The fundamental halacha of hafrasha, he still could be with his wife. Second halacha, he has to be away from his wife. So that implies that they could be living as man and wife.
In the Lishkat, right?
In the Lishkat or Hedron, which could be a problem. Why? Yeah, right? So there, well, okay, very good, right? So the problem that Rashi raises, which is one everyone has to deal with, is you can't sit in the Azar, right? Unless you're from, exactly, right? It's good to be the king. If you're from Bnei Malcha, then you can do it, right? And that's, I think the Gemara talks about why Yeravam bans people from going to Yerushalayim, right? Because it was embarrassing, because Yeravam had to stand while Rechavam is sitting, right? And that's just unacceptable. So let's put up our two golden calves and bar the roads. Okay, so problem number one, if he's spending 7 days in the Lishkat or Hedron, so he's sleeping there, right? And if he's sleeping there, how can he do so if this is part of the if this is part of the Azar? So telescope out for a second. Anybody who's learned the halachot of the question of going up to Har HaBayit b'zman hazeh, right? So that whole discussion revolves around the fact that there are three different levels of sanctity to talk about when we talk about the Yerushalayim / Har HaBayit, right? The core is the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash and the Azara, right? And then level two is the kedusha of Har HaBayit. And level three is the kedusha of Yerushalayim, right? We have what we call Machane Shechina, right? The camp of the Shechina, the camp Machane Levia, right? And Machane Yisrael. And each one of those three camps has certain people who cannot enter, right? So does anybody know the one person who's banished from all three camps? If you think back to Sefer Vayikra, sorry, Mitzora, right? Very good. The impurity of Mitzora renders you unable to even be in the Machane Yisrael. Right, and therefore they have to leave the city of Yerushalayim. Who's only restricted from Machane Shechina, the impurity which can be everywhere else, but just can't be Machane Shechina. Okay, good. So Zav, Balkari, Nida, Poleta Shechvat Zera, which is the major problem nowadays. Zava, right? So all of these, which are the tuma hayotze megufo, right? Any tuma which comes as a result of some sort of bodily emission, so those may not enter Machane Shechina, and they also may not enter Machane Levia, right? And that's why whenever anybody goes to Har HaBayit, so that's why they have to have the whole very intense mikvah experience, right? Is because they need purity from that in order to go on to Machane Levia, which is, you know, a bunch of Har HaBayit.
It's a really intense mikvah experience, more intense than like a regular mikvah experience?
For guys. Guys have to do the nail cutting.
Oh,
and the, yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and cutting nail polish.
Nails and all
yeah,
which,
yeah.
You know, that would be a different issue, but.
Take off your earrings, all that. Yeah,
exactly. Brush our teeth, you know, vefule. So, yeah, that's because we're dealing with when else do you have a biblical. Issue that men face with tuma. Okay, then Machane Shechina. The only Machane Shechina. The problem is tumas meis, right? Somebody who's been exposed to the impurity from a dead body, which can only become pure via right. Going to mikvah is not enough to get you pure from tumas meis, right? What do you need besides
paraduma,
right? Which is not available nowadays, and that's why nowadays you can't go anywhere where it's possible that the azara or the actual base mikdash was. Right, mikvah is not enough, and therefore nobody can go there at all. Right, and that's why when people go up, they only go up to the parts where we know for sure that the temple structure was not. It's only potentially kedusha Har HaBayit, which is only a problem of tumah yotzei megufa, which you can get out of, which you can solve with mikvah. Okay, so where this all comes back to is, Kohen Gadol can't be sleeping in the Machane Shechina or in the Azara because you can't sit there. He also can't be with his wife in the Machane Levia because then he's going to become Balkari, right? And Balkari can't be in Machane Levia. So that's a big problem for Rashi because Rashi just says that he could have been in Machane Levia and everybody tries to explain how on earth that's possible. Very unclear. Yeah.
Just, we said that he, how do we not have this extra restriction of him potentially becoming Tameh from his wife? We assume that we'd allowed him to live with his wife, but
right.
way I understood it was, we're only adding that extra day. Meaning, we're not necessarily saying that the 6 days, we're just saying the seventh day, he would have otherwise been able to be with his wife because he wouldn't have been in Hafrasha yet.
Excellent.
But there's not necessarily a statement about the 6 days before it.
So the addition of the concern with his wife for Reish Lakish has two ramifications, and for Rabbi Yochanan only has one, right? For Reish Lakish, it has the ramification of adding a seventh day. Rabbi Yochanan always had 7 days. For both of them, it has the requirement that he has to be separated from his wife for that entire process.
I'm saying, but where do we know otherwise he wouldn't have been able? Meaning, where do we know that had we not had this extra fear, he wouldn't have been able to have been separated from? He would not have had to be separated from his wife. As in, according to Rabbi Yochanan, how do we know that Rabbi Yochanan, before the raising of this extra concern, meaning
flip it around. In other words, why should I assume a prohibition without a known source for it? By default, he could be with his wife, so what's the source that he can't be?
Well, because we're clearly there's a hafrasha, so it's an as-of-yet undefined hafrasha, but it's not necessarily saying that there was... Meaning, once there's a hafrasha, there's no not necessarily a need to assume that he would have been able to be with his wife. You could say that the only person who reads this extra prohibition is Reish Lakish, and only for the purpose of...
I suppose, but I mean, if I go back to the original case with the Miluim, for example, so what did Moshe tell Aaron? So Moshe tells Aaron, "Upesach ohel moed teshuv yomam v'layla," right? You shall dwell by the entrance to the tent. That's all. So he doesn't say anything about, so, you know, lack of, not going to invent Yisurim without source, is probably what I would say. Okay, but we have this problem of where exactly is the Hafrasha too. So Rash, right, again, we have Machane Shechina, right, Azara structure, Machane Leviya, the broader Harabayat area, and then you have Machane Yisrael, right, the surrounding area of Jerusalem. Now we know that the Lishka Parhejin was on the Temple Mount, right, that's not in dispute. So what are we going to do? So Rashi's in a bit of trouble. If you're going to say that his wife would actually be sleeping with him in the Lishka Parhedron. Tosa Yeshanim gives a slightly different quote from Rashi, which solves the problem. Tosa Yeshanim says, no problem. Lishka Parhedron is in the Machane Leviya, it's in the Har HaBayit. And what we meant was, he could take a lunch break, right? He could go home, he could be with his wife at some point during the day, and then go back, right, to spend the night in Lishka Parhedron, right? So when the Gemara was assuming that Mida Oraisa, he could have... being united with his wife and also observed Hafrasha, the simple answer is that he just does them at different times, right? He doesn't have to be there 24/7, right? If you saw the Ibn Ezra talks about, did Aaron have to be 24/7 in the Mishkan, right? And he's ridiculous, right? He quotes someone who says, you know, maybe they dug some deep latrine pit, right? So he can go to the bathroom there, and he's like, doubtful. Right, I don't think that's what's going on. Right, he could leave for a little bit. The point is that he basically has to be in the Ohel Moed. Right, he gives the comparison of when the Chumash says that Vayevku Kol B'nei Yisrael. Right, that all of the Jews mourned for Aaron. Were they all crying for 30 days straight, nonstop? Right, and you know, my little baby was a little while ago, but not for 30 days. The idea is that's he's basically oriented around the Ohel Moed. So too, we could say for the Kohen Gadol, he's living in the Lishka Parhedron, but maybe he could have gone home, you know, to visit the family and then gone back. So that's the way that Rashi's quoted in Tosi Yeshanim, like Baal Peh, right? In Tosi Yeshanim, they have the written version, they have the Torah Shebachsav of Rashi, and they have the Torah Shebaal Peh of Rashi. So Tosos going a different direction. Tosos say no. His separation was not to Machane Leviya. His separation was actually to Machane Yisrael, right? That the Lishka Parhedron actually had no real Har HaBayit sanctity at all. How can you say that if it's on the Temple Mount? You know, the riddle, right? If it's on the Temple Mount, then how can it be that it doesn't have Temple Mount sanctity? What? Insulated. Well, basically, it's entrance is to, right, it's, if you could, like, think of the picture of the Beis Hamikdash, so they had, like, the Bir, which was, like, the fortress, which is, like, on the wall of the, you know, Beis Hamikdash structure, and it's facing, it's there's a bridge from it to the broader city. The rule is that if the entrance is exposed to the city, then it has the kedusha of the city. It doesn't have the kedusha of Harabayis. So Tosfos argue maybe Lishkas Parhedrin was over there, and so he could be with his wife, and he could have sat there because Lishkas Parhedrin, the need for hafrasha is not even to a place of Harabayis. It's only to a place of it's just like the rest of Yerushalayim. The way they seem to describe it on Daf Ches, you could say it's a place which has like a shem Harabayis without the kedusha of Harabayis, right? It's part of the Harabayis structure, so that's enough, but it doesn't have the sanctity of the Harabayis. Now, if that's the case, that's much less indicative of a really strong concept of Hafrasha. So, you know, we're going to compare Moshe on Har Sinai with the clouds of, you know, Anani HaKavod themselves. We're going to compare that to being separated, you know, in non-Harabaya, it doesn't seem likely, right? The more you go away, you know, the more you devalue the importance of where he's being separated to, or the sanctity where he was being separated to, the less likely you are to understand that what's going on here is a real enhancement of the Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol. He lives in Yerushalayim all year round, right? How is his Kedusha enhanced from living in somewhere for 7 days, which has a shame Harabayas, but doesn't actually have Kedushas Harabayas, right? You'd really want to say that the whole point is that he's being taken to a different environment of sanctity in order to say that he's becoming more sanctified. I think that sounds reasonable. Okay, so you could say he's in Machane Leviyah. You also maybe could say that he's actually in Machane Shechina. You could perhaps say that the Lishkas Parhedrin is part of the Azara. Rambam seems to say this, I think. If that's the case, you have to explain how can he sit or sleep there. How can he sit or sleep there if you can't sit in the Azara? How could he sleep there for 7 days? So there are a couple of answers in Rishonim. One, it's not so fundamental, but we have to say it just because it's Tosas Rid, because last year Tosas Rid was our all-star Rishon, so we just got to give Tosas Rid's explanation. Tosas Rid says, you're allowed to sit in the Azara, and I'll prove it to you, he says. He says, what do Kohanim do after every Karban Shlamim, every Karban Chatas, every Karban Mincha? What do? Sit down and have lunch, right? Are they? Is it like a constant smorgasbord in the Azara every day, right? That they're all, exactly, really? Like, well, that's
how... Don't they go to the Beit HaMokeh, then that's like not, so...
For eating carbanos?
Yeah, don't they eat
it? I don't think so, but it could be. Maybe the Siddur Ben Hill says, I don't know. He says, this proves to you that in general you could sit in the Azara, because that's what they're doing, eating their sacrifices. You only can't sit in the part of the Azara which is directly opposite the entrance to the Heichal, right? The Azara is, you know, pretty wide. So if you're like in front of the doors which are always open to the actual Kodesh, then there you have to stand. But if you're off on the side, you could sit. So the Lishkas Parhedrin, which is the whole question is, right? It's on the side. We're just not sure where on the border it is. So there certainly says Tosfos Rid, you could sit, you could sleep, no problem. Okay. The Ravid says a little bit differently. He says, maybe, we'll say Lishkas Parhedrin is part of the Azara. It's part of Machane Shechina. That's the real holiest maximum sanctity level. When can't you sit? You can't sit when you're doing it for kicks and giggles, right? But if I'm in a place because the Torah made me be there, right, then I'm allowed to stay, right? So Torah said that Aaron has to be separated for 7 days. So if Torah is saying I have to be there, then you can't ask. You can't be there because you're sitting in the Azara. I'm sitting in the Azara because I was commanded to be in the Azara. So if you take that approach, right, that this is kind of like an internal overriding, right? He's separated to the actual Azara. Why is he allowed to sit and sleep there? Just because that's what he was commanded to do, right? So maybe you could say a little bit more strongly that this is the whole kiyum. It's not like an accidental, oh, we wish he wasn't in the Azara, but that's where the Torah said he has to be there so he'll sleep because he can't go 7 days without sleeping. The whole point of the mitzvah is that he's living in a place for 7 days, right, where normally he's not able to even sit. Right? What better way of exposing and preparing and being sanctified than really making, right, compared to Sukkot, making his Dirat Arai into his Dirat Keva, right? That this is the place where he's actually, he's becoming on a level that he can be sleeping and sitting here, living here, for the 7 days prior to going into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Okay. So it shouldn't be so surprising, since Tosafot were the ones who super downgraded the location and said that he's in a place which is only Machaneh Yisrael, right? It's not even Machaneh Leviya, let alone Machaneh Shechina. It's Machaneh Yisrael. Shouldn't be super surprising that Tosafot are actually of the opinion that the whole institution of Hafrasha is Midrabanan. Right, despite everything we said, despite all the sources, the Tosafot and Taf Daled say they're of the opinion that this is all just a rabbinic institution. That's what they say. Tosafot Yeshanim disagree again. Right, the Tosafot on the page are the Tosafot from the Beis Medrash of the Maharam. Right, and the Tosafot Yeshanim are the more classic French Tosafot, which are similar to the Tosafot Harash and. Those are the Tosafot that the Ritva is going to be quoting. So you have two different collections of Tosafot, which is great, because in Kachamon, as many Rishonim as we can get. So Tosafot think that Hafrasha is Midrabanan. Makes sense, because they downgraded the location. Tosafot Yeshanim think that it is Midoraisa. Does anybody remember what the Rambam seems to say on the topic? Yeah, whatever that means, right? The Rambam is a bit of a funny formulation. In the Parish of Mishnayos happens to be, the Rambam just quotes Rabbi Yochanan. He just quotes the Miluim. In the Mishnah Torah, it's said differently, right? What does he say? So he says, Shivas Yamin Kodim, Yom Kippurim, for 7 days, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mibesa, we separate him from his house, to, what? What are the next two words? This is kind of important. Sheba Mikdash, right? So it seems important that he's saying that the office is specifically in the Mikdash, right? If you look at some of the Rambam as a base of Achir, I really think that he thinks that the Kohen Gadol's office is actually part of the base of Mikdash itself. V'davar zeh Kabbalah miMoshe Rabbeinu, right? We have this as a received requirement from Moshe. And then what does he say after that? Right. And this is all Midrabanan, right? So that's great. We have our two dinim, right? We have the separation to the Mikdash from Moshe, separation from his wife, and the backup Kohen Gadol, and that's for Tumah preservation. So the Rambam certainly has the two dinim, the Raisa and the Dirabanan. Seemingly, he has to be separated to the Mikdash itself. I just had a thought on Davar Zeh Kabbalah and Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know if it's true or not. I haven't seen him all say it. But in the Parish of Shnayos, he quotes Miluim. Right, so you think the same thing?
We were discussing yeah? if the pshat of it means it's Doraisa, or it means that he thinks it's Sinai as opposed to Elohim.
Oh boy, okay, so this is like the opposite of what I was going to say. So you're saying, well, it's not really.
We did believe that, but we were like, maybe in Shir, it'll be raised as a possibility.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we're using it as an opposite side. So you say we want to say on our Sinai, and then I'll say I was going to say on Elohim.
Oh, I don't actually believe this. I was just like
that's trying fine,
to
just throw
out
it.
Like an idea, like you know, Kabbalah Moshe, for like you might think that maybe like from Moshe's example, like not just not like Kabbalah Moshe, we see Sinai, like we usually understand it, but like you know, an additional understanding that like actually from what he did in our Sinai.
Right.
I don't think that's possible.
Because like the phraseology is unique to it.
But
I didn't look up, you know. I'm not an expert in that.
Right. I haven't looked up like everybody that the Frankel quotes in the back. I actually thought of this morning when I was going over the source that I sent out. But if take the Miluim side, because that's what the Rambam quotes in Parashat Shnayos. And I first learned the sugya, I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then they said, oh, well, in Parashat Shnayos, he's quotes Miluim. So I was like, okay, you know, forget about it, whatever. But if you think about it again, if you look back at the psukim of the Miluim, so where is this coming from? Who's giving the command? The way it's presented is kind of funny, right? The way it's presented is presented as what Moshe told Aaron. Here's what Hashem told me to tell you,
mm-hmm.
Right? Moshe in general, the whole 8th chapter of Vayikra, Moshe has an outsized role. There's a time where he's the Kohen Gadol for 7 days, and he's the Malach for 7 days. Moshe is like the man, total man of the hour. Before, you know, incredibly giving up that whole thing to Aaron without hesitation, or with hesitation, because that's why there's a shalshalet, right, in Vayomar, right? When Moshe finally gives over, there's a little hesitation, which is why we have that trap. But I just thought to throw out that maybe it's because the original command of the Miluim, right? Moshe even says, Kichin Tsuvesi, right? For this is what I was commanded, right? You shall right, you shall be in there for 7 days. Kikain Tsuvesi, do that because that's what Hashem told me to do. So I just thought maybe that's what the Rama means. I still don't know why he would say
what
that. Devar Zekabol and Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, it's the original commandment was given with Moshe stressing, this is what I received from Hashem. It's not your normal formulation in the Torah of right by the way Hashem Moshe Lemor, right, and then Hashem tells Moshe say so X Y and Z, right. Usually your mitzvahs are given with just the quote of Hashem to Moshe. Mm-hmm. Here we have the quote of Moshe to Aaron saying this is what I was commanded to tell you. So I wonder if that's what the Rambam could be referencing. I don't know.
It's interesting also like it really intertwines, like even though Moshe doesn't play a big role, like later in like the Greek when we're talking about like Tachar Aaron, like, and then like Tamidav Shel Moshe, like it, like even more like supports that like intertwining of like because we have Tamidav Shel Moshe, we have Tachar Aaron type of thing. Like here, it's like if we're saying that Miluim is the source for that, it's here. Like the commandment wasn't given to Moshe, but Moshe still plays in like a pivotal role in like to, like carrying out this commandment. It's just like even more like intertwining of their roles, like and their importance is in the original, like.
Nice. That's great. That's really great. And that now we can cut to the chase. That's good. Very good. Okay, I had not thought of that, but that's awesome. Okay, so let's go back to that point. We can get to the main point we have over here, which is exactly getting to the roles of Moshe. Role of Aaron and now the role of Moshe. Awesome. Okay. So we still are trying to nail down the real reason for the Hafrasha. We suggested the added level of Kedusha, right, which is backed up by the formulation of Nit Kadesh, right, it's by the historical examples of Aaron and Moshe on Har Sinai, and possibly, right, especially if he has to be sleeping in the Azara itself, which is normally totally forbidden, right, that seems to have some strong ramifications. So now, right, we can really dig into what is the, why does he have to have this, in other words, we're arguing now that there is an added level of Kedusha which is attained through the seven-day process, and that's why that seven-day process exists. Going into tonight, we wanted to see that, right, because we're arguing that the Avodah Yom Kippurim requires some added element of Kedusha. So it requires an added element. We're providing it through the Miluim. We still have to answer is what exactly is this added element of Kedusha? Or we have to sharpen this a little bit. What does that mean, he's more Kadosh? What is he missing that he's trying to get, right? And that's where Raquel was saying from the Rav is going to come in, right? Which is, mm-hmm. let's say in shorthand, then we'll draw it out. What are we trying to get?
That the only person who's ever allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim is Aaron, and therefore, like the Greed doesn't, like, accept the whole Lechukat Olam Drasha of, like, on Yom HaKippurim, all the Kohanim Gedolim can go into... Right. The Kodesh HaKodeshim, and therefore, in order for Kohen Gadol to go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim on Yom Kippurim, then they have to be like sort of like in the position of
Aaron. So let's take a step back. So this all comes from the like revolutionary Chiddush of the Vilna Gaon in really the Pshuto Shel Mikra of Perek Dezayin, right? Where the Vilna Gaon is quoted in a few different places. Some have more on them, some have less. But what's the basic thesis that he raises? In terms of how to understand Perek Dezayin, what is chapter 16 of Leviticus talking about?
Specifically Aaron.
Yeah, so right, that one thing you see for sure, right, if there's a Milah Mancha, and there are many which are interesting to talk about, but over and over, it's Aaron, 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 over and over and over again, right, which is why I color-coded them in the source codes that I sent out. Until
the end.
The very end, where it switches from Aaron to... Right, the Vichy Perak Kohen, Asherim Shacho So, Lachahin Tachas of it, right, whichever is the Kohen who serves in under his father, which is interesting, right? This emphasis of this like father to son chain of transmission of the Kahuna Gedola.
That's how it was for a long time, though.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Right. And the whole until the second Beis Mikdash when it all went to garbage. Yeah. So that's one shift, right? It's Aaron, 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 and then whatever other Kohen at the very end. There's another important shift, notes the Gra, right? Which is, when is this whole service happening? So the first...
Whenever Aaron wants to...
Yeah, right. Pshat of the Pesachim, yeah. Yom Kippur doesn't get mentioned until the very end of the parak, right? It's just... Bizos Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh. This is the procedure for Aaron to enter the Kodesh HaKadashim. You bring all of these karbanos. He quotes the Medrash Rabbah, right, which says, you know, that Moshe is feeling very bad, right, because you know he's able to go. They just built the Ohel Moed, as we talked about, right. This is on the 8th day, and Moshe can go in whenever he wants, right, and Aaron can only go in. You know, Aaron can't go in whenever he wants. This is really this is rough time. Says the Medrash, no problem. Aaron can go in on demand as well. Right, Aaron can go in, provided that he does the Avodas Yom HaKippur. Right, so says the Gra, no problem, right? We have two different things. We have the Avodas Yom HaKippur in the Pesukim really is how the procedure for Aaron and only Aaron to enter the Kodesh HaKadashim. And then at the very end, we say that subsequent Kohanim Gedolim can do this also, but only on Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur provides the license for them to do what Aaron can do every day when performing this avoda. And the Gra uses this also to explain a couple of discrepancies between Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat, right? So the glaring one is that the Pesukim, right, the Gemara says everything in these Pesukim is written in order, except there's one thing which is out of order, right, which is Pasach Chaf Gimel, which says that Aaron goes back into the Kodesh HaKadashim, and all it says that he takes off his clothes, and he changes and comes out, right? Which doesn't make any sense. There's obviously something missing there, because as some of the Farshim say, it's obvious that Aaron's not going to go into the Kodesh HaKadashim just so he can strip naked and then do nothing else and walk out, right? He's obviously doing something, right? So they explain this pasuk, the Gemara explains this pasuk is out of order. Now, what this refers to is that Aaron is supposed to go back into the Kodesh HaKadashim to retrieve the pan with the Ketoreth that he had left there, right? And he does a separate changing, and that separate change from gold to white, and he goes into the mikvah a couple of extra times. But that's all missing in the Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav, we only have Aaron changing gold, white, gold. So that's three changes, three mikvah trips. The way it's done the Doros is gold, white, gold. So that's five changes and five mikvah trips. So it's going to go, no problem. One is talking about the historical process of Aaron. Aaron only changes once, and everybody else changes twice. Why is Aaron going into the Kodesh HaKadashim at the very end? Well, the whole point of this service is so that after Aaron does the carbon service, he can then go into the Kodesh HaKadashim to daven and talk to God, just like Moshe does, right? So Pasach Chaf Gimel in the Pshut Shemikra, we're talking about Aaron. After the whole service, he goes back into the Kodesh HaKadashim just to daven. Ledoros, that's talking about something else. That's talking about the Kohen Gadol going back into the Kodesh HaKadashim to retrieve the pan and finish the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. But the bottom line is that the original formulation of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim is not about Yom Kippur at all. It's about what Aaron does in order to enter the Kodesh HaKadashim, and that pathway is available to every other Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So then the Rav just combines everything we've talked about with Hafrasha with the idea of the Gra. They fit together beautifully, right? If we're talking about needing some added element of Kedusha, which has them to clarify what it is, and we're saying that Yom Kippur is the day of Aaron specifically, and it's about him being able to enter Kodesh HaKadashim, and you can only enter on Yom Kippur as the Kohen Tachas Aviv dating back to Aaron. So what are we going to say that added element of Kedusha maybe is you're getting from the 7 days of preparation?
You're getting Aaron's.
Exactly. You now are Tachas Aaron HaKohen, right? You're all year round, you are a regular Kohen Gadol. When you're going to go in on Yom Kippur, so then you're supposed to be not just a regular Kohen Gadol, you're supposed to be a Kohen Gadol who is Tachas Aaron HaKohen. And he quotes from one of the Piyutim, not the one that Ashkenaz. Anybody here Dav Nosach Sfarad? Yeah? So, right, so you guys, I think, don't say Amitz Koach.
No.
You say Atokananta, no? Which is a much better Piyut. So, what?
Tikatov.
כן. אבל הוא ידע לו להוריד
המשכוח, אז הוא אומר את 5 שנים המשכוח. So, I forget, what's the exact line he has in there, but there's a line in there about like the Kohen Gadol being like Migeza. Yeah, he does, right? Tachat Aaron Migez Oh Yamod Hashem Levenecha B'Yom Haslicha. Yeah, right. So it's like explicit in there, right? Someone from underneath Aaron, from his Geza Yishai, right? From the, how do you translate to English? Yeah, exactly, right?
It's the question, we don't know.
Okay, so I think with that we can wrap up. So that basically is our broader intro, right? We had the first part documenting the higher Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol, that was the first couple of Shirim, which the higher Kedusha mandated by Avodah Yom Kippurim, and then, right, that's gained through the 7 days of Hafrasha, fittingly, the very first halacha in the Masechet Yoma, and what exactly he's gaining is being tachat Aron HaKohen. Okay, so that concludes our kind of general hakdamat yuma. Now we can move ready to sort of begin the fifth parak. Fifth parak is going to begin with the avodah haketoras, which is great because that's bezos yav Aron, and the first thing in there is the ketoras. So I'll give us hopefully tomorrow I'll be able to send out. Yeah, but it's more than that. From the shoot, of
like
Jesse.
Yeah.
That's what they say
in the
King James or whatever. Whatever. Okay, so I'll try to send the sources soon, like the kind of overview for the Yom Kippur Ketores, and then we can start to dive into to the fifth parak. Okay, shkach everybody.